Rich, what happened with this patient?
So what happened with this woman is she elected to go on a FOLFOX plus a aflibercept first-line trial. This lady was treated before the trial data had been presented. She didn't have such bulky liver disease that I was worried she was going to have liver failure. She had normal liver function studies. I'm happy to say her CEA fell promptly from 200 to about 50. She got about 4 months of treatment before the liver surgeon, who had initially said not resectable, said, now I can take her to the operating room. She had a trisegmentectomy, so a big liver operation, and then a wedge resection of a left lobe lesion. Recovered well from surgery and now has got a CEA of 4.2, so in the normal range. And I'm treating her with FOLFOX without aflibercept. She came off the clinical trial when she went to liver surgery. I don't routinely use a biologic in patients who've been fully resected. I don't continue bevacizumab. And, you know, I'm hopeful that her future course will be a positive one.
I was struck by the fact she got aflibercept because last time I talked to you, and a number of times that I've talked to you over the last couple of years, I've asked you, have you ever used it? And you said, no, but we got a trial. I think I'm going to be using it. It sounds like you are using it.
Right.
I'm curious, in the first line situation where I don't know that we have any data, what happened with this lady in terms of tolerability?
So I was really concerned about the tolerability after reading the data from the Valour study. And I thought that this drug was going to turn out to be very difficult to use and that its toxicity, unlike that of bevacizumab, would be somewhat synergistic with chemotherapy. In my N of three, I've treated three patients on this study so far. I've had a very similar experience to bevacizumab. I haven't seen additive toxicity. Two of the three patients had unresectable liver disease, two have been resected, so I'm seeing good activity with it. But an N of three is not enough to establish a trend.
Hypertension?
We do see hypertension with it, but similar to what we've gotten used to with managing bevacizumab, the hypertension is manageable.
We were going to talk about, and we will talk about, aflibercept more in the second line setting, but as long as it came up, I am kind of curious. And Charlie, I think I've had heard the perception in investigators that, quote, maybe the chemotoxicity is worse in patients getting aflibercept. Any thoughts about that? Any personal experience?
Well, the Valour study certainly suggests not only an increase in what would be considered VEGF-related toxicities, that expectable, but that you see more chemotherapy-related toxicity, such as diarrhea, GI toxicity associated with the FOLFIRI in Valour. I have not used aflibercept outside of a clinical trial, and in fact, our clinical trials with aflibercept are in neuroendocrine tumors and esophageal and gastric adenocarcinoma. In those settings, I find the drug to be well tolerated, and I've treated quite a few patients with single agent aflibercept for neuroendocrine and with chemotherapy in patients with esophageal and gastric adenocarcinoma within those clinical trials.
So I want to get a little bit into second line treatment of metastatic CRC, and Randy has a case that we can discuss. But one more thing just to put in perspective, namely the New England Journal paper on panitumumab showing that on top of the classic patients with KRAS 12 and 13 mutations, looks like there's another 10% of patients that they've been able to pull out of the pool that won't respond to EGFR antibodies. Johanna, can you talk a little bit about how you're putting this together from a practical perspective?
What I've told my folks in the community right now after this data has been published is to say what this data tells us is that for these patients with the codon 2 KRAS mutations, with the NRAS mutations, so the rarer RAS mutations, we should definitely not give them an anti-EGFR plus oxaliplatin-based therapy. We don't have a mechanism yet in place to commercially test it. So for right now, for the KRAS wild-type patients, if you're going to use an anti-EGFR therapy in combination with chemotherapy, until we have that testing in place to use it with an arena TCAN-based regimen.
Charlie?
Yeah, I think the practical thing you want to ask your pathologist is that historically they have been doing codons 12 and 13 exclusively. And what this paper shows is ask your pathologist, yes, do codons 12 and 13, but also do codons 61 and 146 and NRAS.